Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Life's a roller coaster, isn't it? It's chaotic. It's messy. It doesn't always go the way we plan. Sometimes we find ourselves in the midst of incredible exhilaration, and sometimes we find ourselves in the midst of terrifying fear. Over the last several weeks, we've been talking about how to cope with the chaos of our world and to deal with the challenging experiences that we have, that the world throws at us each and every day, things that are way beyond our control. How do we find peace? How do we find the presence of Christ in the midst of these chaotic times in which we lived? We began our worship series by talking about dealing with difficult people, recognizing that difficult people are all around us, that we deal with difficult people every single day of our lives, and they can wear us out, they can tire us out, they can just make us weary of dealing with it. But there are opportunities for us to learn, even in difficult conversations, even with difficult people among us, that there are things that God can teach us in those moments, in those experiences, that we can experience the presence of Christ if we're looking for them and seeking God's wisdom, even in the midst of those challenging people. We talked about the necessity of breaking free from abuse, and we talked about what it looks like when we experience verbal abuse or physical abuse or emotional or mental abuse, or just having to deal with abusive people and people who get into our lives and get into our face and kind of make us miserable. And we talked about the necessity of not repaying evil for evil, not stooping to the level of those that are abusive to us, but finding ways that we can overcome evil with good through the power and strength that Christ gives us. And then last week we talked about managing conflict. We experience conflict every single day of our life, that conflict is a natural and normal part of our lives. And healthy people and healthy systems understand that conflict, that managing conflict is actually a way toward growth, and that we can actually grow and flourish in the midst of conflict as we learn to manage it well. And we talked about some biblical ways of dealing with conflict, sharing the love of Christ in all that we do. We recognize that we're never going to eliminate chaos from our lives. We're never going to eliminate difficult people from our lives. We're never going to eliminate abusive people from our lives. We're never going to eliminate conflict from our lives. But with the presence of Christ, with the power of Christ in our lives, we can find ways to overcome. We can find ways to even thrive in the midst of those challenging, challenging moments. Today we're going to wrap up the series by talking about finding peace and how we experience the peace of Christ and the presence of Christ in everything that we say and everything that we do. Obviously, we're aware that just a little over a week and a half ago, Robin Williams took his own life. And that's been on the news. It's been on social media. There have been all kinds of opinions about what happened and why it happened and what all went into his head. Why would he do that? Why would he do that to us? Why would he do that to himself? And so it opened up the conversation again about the disease of depression and how depression is something that gets, when it gets inside of our heads, it causes us to do things. It causes us to think very differently and to see life very differently. We have a hopelessness that we feel like the only way out is to end the pain. And it has nothing to do with making other people miserable. It has everything to do with trying to manage one's own pain. And I think it's an important conversation for us to have as we think about depression and we think about the disease of depression and how it affects us and how it affects those who we love. He was trying to find something that would provide him some peace in his life. We didn't know what his life was like. We didn't know how painful his life was. It's heartbreaking that his life ended the way it did, but I think there's still a message for us that we can lean on each other, we can look to help each other, we can grow from these experiences, and we can live with compassion and understanding in the midst of people who are dealing with troubling things that we may have no idea what they're dealing with. Clearly, if we look on the news, even over the past week, we see evidence of chaos in the world all around us, places where there is absolutely no peace. Ferguson, Missouri, Iraq, Israel, Ukraine, Africa, the U.S. border, you name it. We look around and there is chaos all around us. The world seems to be crumbling apart at the seams. And what are we supposed to do about that? How can we experience the peace of Christ in the midst of a world that just looks like it is completely out of control? In the midst of chaos, what do we do to endure on a daily basis? I'd like to start this conversation by referring to some words that Jesus spoke. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Jesus spoke these words in the midst of his famous Sermon on the Mount, where he gave a lot of teaching and a lot of instructions to the people that he was leading. And in this particular section, the Beatitudes, there are several of them where he's talking about pronouncing blessings on those that don't really appear to be blessed. And he's talking about a different way of living. And the Beatitudes and the blessings that Jesus offers are really a call to conform our lives, our common lives, to kingdom values, to God's values, to things that God values for us. So when he says, blessed are the peacemakers, what does that mean? What does it mean to be a peacemaker? I think simply, in the very simplest terms, it means that we are passive, not that we're doormats, not that we let other people walk all over us, but that we look for positive actions toward reconciliation. That's what a peacemaker does. A peacemaker is one who looks for positive actions seeking reconciliation. Then he says something very interesting. He says, they will be called children of God. What does it mean to be called a child of God? It means that we are accepted as the true people of God, that we are God's chosen people, that God calls us, sets us apart, and claims us for a work that is greater than ourselves. It goes beyond the work that we do. To be called a child of God, to be welcomed as and accepted as the people of God, means that our lives, there's more to our lives than just what we do on a daily basis to exist. It's more than what we do on a daily basis to make sure that our kids and our families are taken care of. That our lives have a higher calling and a higher purpose, and that is to participate with God's great work here on this earth. To be accepted as belonging to the true people of God, to be a child of God, means that we are seeking to share the heart of God. To become like Christ in everything that we do, to reveal Christ to others through our actions and our words. And it is to share the mind of God, to learn to think like God thinks, to learn to think like Christ thinks, to see the world, and to have compassion for it, and to think of the ways that we might have a part in changing it by using the power of God that exists in us. So I wanted to say that to set this next section up, which we'll spend more time talking about this morning. If you have a Bible with you or a Bible app on your phone, I'm going to be in James chapter 3. And I want to focus specifically on verses 17 and 18. The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. So as we understand these words from the book of James, we're understanding first that true wisdom, that peace comes through wisdom, through knowing the mind of God. And true wisdom is a gift from God. It comes from God, God's self, that we don't just decide that we're going to wake up one day and have the wisdom of God. It's a gift that God gives to us. And that the peace that James is talking about is this right relationship between God and us and between ourselves, between human beings. That's that right relationship. And true wisdom that comes from God, is what puts us in that right relationship. Now see, there are different kinds of wisdom that we sometimes employ in our daily lives. There's this clever and arrogant wisdom that sort of separates us from God and separates us from others as we look upon others with sort of this smug and superior contempt. I know more than you know. And then there's sort of a cruel wisdom that delights in hurting other people with clever and cutting words. That I've got this wit about me that I can say something that just sort of cuts into you. And I'm a little sharper than you are. And I'm a little quicker on my feet than you are. And I'm using that wisdom to hurt other people or to demonstrate that maybe I'm a little better than you are. And that's a cruel kind of wisdom. And then there's a depraved wisdom that seduces us away from our loyalty to God. And we think that we can do life on our own. We think we don't need God's help for the things that we experience in our lives. The book of James talks about a true wisdom that brings us closer to one another. It brings us closer to God. It provides a bond of peace, and it fosters that healthy atmosphere for growth and transformation. Because friends, nothing good can grow in an environment of bitterness and strife and cruelty. It starts with us as we foster an environment of love and respect and peace. In the words of the old hymn, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. A philosopher from another place said it this way: if there is to be peace in the world, there must be peace in the nations. If there is to be peace in the nations, there must be peace in the cities. If there is to be peace in the cities, there must be peace between neighbors. If there is to be peace between neighbors, there must be peace in the home. And if there is to be peace in the home, there must be peace in the heart. Let's pray together. Gracious and merciful God, open our ears today. Open our spirits to receive your presence, that we might experience your peace and thus become peacemakers in the world. Open our minds, God, that we might hear from you. Amen. So let's talk about some steps, some action steps that we can take today in order to find the peace of Christ in our lives through the wisdom that comes as a gift from God. There are a couple of things that I want to outline for you. If you want to make some notes, feel free to do that. First thing, we find peace is through knowledge. We find peace through knowledge, that wisdom that comes from God. Proverbs 18:5, the New Living Translation says, intelligent people are always ready to learn. Their ears are open for knowledge. I don't know if you've ever experienced this. In my life, this is sort of how I would operate, that I would wait until the very, very, very last second before I had to complete like summer reading projects and school starting tomorrow. And I would have waited till about Sunday afternoon before I started reading my summer reading book. And then I would walk into class on Monday morning completely unprepared for whatever the class discussion was going to be, or the pop quiz, or whatever the test was going to be to determine whether or not I had done the summer reading. And it just made me sick. You know, I would just walk around and just be sort of sick to my stomach all day long, because I knew that when I got to the time to take the test, I would not be prepared, that I did not have the knowledge in order to be successful in what I was going to study. And so you may have experienced that too, where there is no peace when you don't have that knowledge, when you haven't been prepared to do what you need to do. That when we're ignorant of something, and when we have this fear of the unknown and we don't have the knowledge that we need, it makes us irrational. And sometimes we make decisions, and sometimes we do things out of a sense of fear, or we do things out of simply not knowing all the facts. And it makes us make decisions that we really wouldn't have made. Willingness to learn is actually a sign of wisdom, and that wisdom provides the peace of Christ in our lives. Psalm 111 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That when we know that God has something better for us, that if we put our lives in God's hands, that if we give reverence and awe and respect to God, and not God as just this cosmic out there someplace that gave us our lives and maybe is nice to us every once in a while kind of God, but a God who loves us, and a God who provides for us, and a God who is all powerful and all knowing and created all things, and a God who wants to be in relationship with us, that if we have that respect for God, if we have that relationship with God, that's the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. And wisdom is the first step toward peace. Simply being informed, knowing what's going on, and having some engagement in our minds with what's happening around us. So we find peace through knowledge. We also find peace through kindness. Proverbs 15:4, the Good News Translation, kind words bring life, but cruel words crush the spirit. You know, when we experience ugliness and mean-spiritedness, it creates a harsh and unpleasant environment. On the other hand, when we experience kindness, even when the news is disappointing, if it's delivered in a kind and compassionate way, it produces peace. Kindness produces peace. It lowers people's defenses. It lowers those obstacles for people. When we have interaction with other people, when we approach that with kindness, we can experience all kinds of new levels to the communication. Charlie Chaplin once said, "We think too much and we feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness and gentleness." Paul wrote to the Ephesians something very similar in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. He says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that they may benefit those who listen." The words we choose and the way that we choose to express those words make a difference. They can be delivered in cruel ways that create an unpleasant environment. They can also be delivered in kind ways that open the door to the presence of Christ, even in the midst of disagreements and conflict or chaos. And finally, we find peace through honesty and integrity. If we need to have the mind of God and find peace through knowledge, and if we need to have the compassion of Christ and find peace through kindness, we also have to be able to display this life in ways that are consistent, in ways where our witness to Christ is consistent everywhere we live. We live with honesty and integrity. Proverbs 2:7 says, God grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. God is a shield to those who walk with integrity. I don't know if you've ever experienced this in your life. I know that there have been times in my past where I was not completely honest in a situation, and that honesty just created anxiety. You know how it is when you've got this lie that you're trying to keep up, and you have to keep building on the lie in order to keep the lie going, and then you can't remember what lies you told in order to cover the other lie that you told, and by the end of the day, you're just completely worn out from all of the dishonesty that you've built around you. It's a house of cards that's just going to come topple over because you haven't lived with honesty and integrity. And it's so stressful, and it produces so much anxiety in our lives. When you're concerned that you might be discovered, when you're concerned that you might get caught in that lie, it produces complete unrest. There's no peace at all in that. John chapter 8 says, the truth will set you free. Jesus says, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let them be afraid. He says later on, he says in chapter 8, he says, the truth will set you free. God's truth sets us free. So the key to living that life of integrity, to living that life of kindness and compassion, to living that life of sharing the mind of God and gaining the wisdom lies in our commitment to the teachings of Jesus Christ. We hold on to what it means to bring Christ into our lives and to live our lives according to what he taught us. The scriptures open up a very clear picture for us of what it means for us to lean on God with everything that we have, to love God with all that we have, and to love each other with everything that we've got. And what sets us apart as Jesus followers is as we understand the presence of Christ and the peace of Christ that comes into our lives, set the disciples apart too. They had to cope with chaos as soon as Jesus was gone. When Jesus was crucified, they initially scattered because it was a chaotic time. They were scared. Their leader was gone. But then Jesus returned to them, and he reminded them of their mission. And he built this church around them so that they could tell the world about the good news of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. The disciples knew from the very beginning it was not about them. Many of them lost their lives in the pursuit of telling others about the love and grace of God through the love of Jesus Christ. It was always about Jesus for them. And they built a church that has endured 2,000 plus years on the teachings of Christ and on the commitment that when the body of Christ comes together, there is something different about that experience than what we experience in the world around us. See, as a professor of mine in seminary once said, Christianity was never intended to be a scheme to reduce stress or lose weight or advance in one's career, preserve one from illness. It is instead a way of living based on the firm and sure hope that righteousness and peace will ultimately prevail. Jesus said, I leave my peace with you. I do not give to you as the world gives to you. This is different. This is something that sets us apart from the rest of the world. Jesus says, don't be afraid of that. Live in my peace. And try to bring my peace and infiltrate my peace into the world that you live in. Find ways of experiencing the presence of Christ. Find ways of sharing the love of Christ in ways that break down barriers and bring a sense of calm into the conversations that you're having. We find peace in lots of different ways. But mostly it begins with learning how to let go of some behaviors that we experience and that we live in our lives and cultivate others that are healthier. I shared this list with the celebration folks a couple of weeks ago, but I think it bears repeating. I want to share it with you again. We find peace in our lives by letting go of what other people think and instead cultivating a spirit of authenticity. We find peace in our lives by letting go of this perfectionism and this need to have everything right all the time, and instead cultivate a sense of self-compassion, being okay with ourselves even when things don't go perfectly. Let go of this sense of numbness and powerlessness that we just can't make any difference in the world, and instead cultivate a resilient spirit led by this idea that we can do many, many great things with the power of Christ if we would just persevere. We find peace in letting go of scarcity and a fear of the dark. When we're afraid and when we have to hold on to everything that we have very tightly, it keeps us from being able to experience the blessings of God. Instead, cultivating a spirit of gratitude and joy and what it means to bask in God's presence. Finding peace means letting go of the need for certainty. We often think that we have to have all the answers, that we have to have everything right before we can proceed. And instead, cultivate a sense of intuition and trusting faith. God gave us minds and God gave us some gut instincts sometimes where we can hear from God just through the gut instincts that we have, and to start to trust that and to trust how God is leading us. Let go of a need for comparison. We're always trying to compare ourselves to each other. We've always got a neighbor. We've always got a classmate. We've always got a coworker, somebody that we want to compare ourselves to. We've got to let that go. And instead cultivate a sense of creativity to use the God-given gifts within each of us to be the person that God created us to be. Finding peace by letting go of this sense of exhaustion as status and productivity as self-worth. We often judge ourselves based on what we can produce by the end of the day. We often judge the quality of our day based on how tired we are by the time we get to the end of the day, or the quality of our week based on how tired we are. We compare how tired we are to how tired other people seem to be, and we decide whether or not we're worth anything by whether or not we're more tired than someone else. We've got to let that go. And instead, cultivate a sense of play and rest. We got to let go of this idea of anxiety as a lifestyle and always being anxious, because that's just kind of how we thrive. Instead, cultivate a sense of calmness and stillness and finding the presence and peace of God in the quiet still around us. Let go of this idea, let go of these self-doubts and these supposed to's that we get caught up in. We always kind of have these things that we feel like we're supposed to do, and we always kind of have this little voice in our head that's doubting what we do. Instead, cultivate a sense of meaningful work. And then finally, let go of this idea that we have to be cool and in control all the time, that we have to present this face to the public for people to see. And instead, cultivate a spirit of laughter and dance and song to praise God in sometimes very embarrassing and crazy kinds of ways, because we have the joy of Christ in our lives. Friends, I think that as God fills us with the wisdom that can only come from God, the wisdom and peace that produces will bring us into a right relationship with God and with others. If we want to have a right relationship with God, if we want to have a healthier relationship with other people around us, the wisdom of God produces the peace that makes that possible. It won't remove the chaos that we face in our world and in our lives. It won't remove difficult people out of our path. It won't take abusive people out of our email inboxes. It won't remove all the conflict that we sometimes face, but it will allow us to bring the presence of Christ into those places. See, I think sometimes we get so caught up in this idea that we've got to find peace and that we've got to somehow eliminate all the other things, all the other distractions around us, so that we can kind of just live in this bubble where nothing ever happens. That's not what Christians were called to be. That's not what Christians were called to do. We as the body of Christ were called to bring the presence of Christ into those chaotic situations, to bring the love of Christ into those moments of conflict, to bring the love of Christ into that conversation you're having with a difficult person, It's for us to do as the body of Christ, to bring the love of Christ, to bring the peace of Christ, to bring the mind of Christ into the chaos. We're not sitting back waiting for the peace to just descend upon us. We are actively taking the peace of Christ out into the world. Let's pray together. God, we do give you thanks for calling us together as your people. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And as we bring the peace of Christ to others in the world, we gain your wisdom and we gain your compassion. And we learn how to stand and live with integrity and honesty so that others might see Christ in us, that his peace might prevail, even when we sometimes think that word might be hopeless. God, if we're struggling today because we just don't feel it, open our hearts in a new way. Touch our spirits in ways that we may not have experienced before. And help us to be the peacemakers that you've called us to be, so that we might truly experience the joy of what it means to be called your sons and daughters. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.